Today is the first Sunday in Lent. The readings from God's holy word, that sacred word, are from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11, Romans chapter 10, beginning at the second half of verse 8 through verse 13, and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Message is titled, Not Bread Alone, But on Every Word. Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning of verse 1. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for His name, and say to the priest in the office at that time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. Here is a reading from Deuteronomy chapter 26. From Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, beginning at the second part of verse 8. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here ends our reading from Romans 10. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It says, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Here ends our reading from Luke chapter 4. Grace, mercy be unto you, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Master, shine into our hearts by the pure light of knowing you. Open the eyes of our minds to reflect on your teaching, and put into us the holy respect of your blessed commandments. Lead us to set aside all that is worldly, that we may follow a spiritual life, thinking and doing all things as it pleases you. For you are our sanctification and our illumination. And to you we give all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. A prayer from the earliest times of the earliest church. Jesus is hungry, tired, alone, worn out, and the devil comes to tempt. Make a note to yourself that when you're tired and worn out, frustrated, stressed out, all those things wrapped up at one moment, that's when the devil will come. And as crafty serpent spoke to Eve, that's when the devil will come to tempt you. You're an easy mark. That's when he'll tempt you. Jesus had been in the wilderness alone for 40 days, tired, weak, hungry, an easy mark for the devil to come and tempt. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Feed yourself. If you are the Son of God, the power is in you to do this. That if calling into question, casting doubt, if, it's to manipulate. It's the same playbook from the very beginning. When that crafty serpent spoke to Eve, calling into question what God said. Did God really say? Manipulation, same form of manipulation, and it's casting doubt. Jesus answered, "It is written." With Luke having the shorter response and the Gospel in Matthew having a longer response to that, "It is written," Luke chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Matthew and Luke in chapters 4, for both of them, in verse 4 for both of them, they're actually quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So whether the shorter of Luke or the longer of Matthew, there is no contradiction here. There is no difference here. They both point to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, it fills in the detail. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It's to teach you. The manna in the wilderness did not come until the 16th day of the second month out of Egypt. So the people had to rely on their own failing resources. And they're now reaching the point of starving. And so they're grumbling against the Lord. You can read this in Exodus chapter 16, where they say, the people say, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Can you just hear the voices of moaning and groaning in that? To starve until the points of death, the drama behind it. Moses received from the Lord the words to speak to Israel. And Moses answered them, you will see the glory of the Lord. You will know it is the Lord when meat comes in the evening and bread in the morning. Quail will come in the evening and manna will be there in the morning. Manna to gather daily, as in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Manna to gather daily, except on the sixth day. On the sixth day, gather 2 days' portions. For you will not have manna to gather on the seventh day, the morning of the Sabbath. For the Lord's day, the day the Lord rested, there will be no manna on that day. For that day is holy to the Lord. It's to set aside for rest and for worship of the Lord. The Lord said he's doing this to teach the people. And it's to teach us, too, that there's a greater part, the word of the Lord, that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Yes, physical sustenance was provided. Still more important was the way of life being set forth before them by the word of the Lord from the mouth of the Lord. So as to know the Lord is God. And there are no other gods beside Him. The devil tempting Jesus, go ahead, feed yourself. In the 1965 movie, The Greatest Story Ever Told, this temptation is spoken while the devil is feeding himself, just stuffing himself with delicious food. Delicious morsels and chomping on the lips and wiping the juices from his mouth. And he said, the tempting as Jesus watches. It is written, when you hear that, the context in the New Testament means the written word of God. The sacred writings, the book of Moses, the prophets, the law, all those things. The Hebrew Bible. And in that is the power of the Word. Go and read it for yourself. Get the scroll of the books of Moses. You can find it written there. Jesus' answer to the devil. Exodus 17, part of verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. And make sure Joshua hears it. Exodus 34, beginning of verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. For in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. 40 days without eating bread or drinking water. The importance of the written word. As the time came for Moses to depart in death before he ascended Mount Nebo to see the promised land, but never enter the promised land for breaking faith with the Lord, striking the rock instead of speaking to the rock for the waters to come forth at Meribah. Numbers chapter 20 has this event written down. Moses is soon to depart in death. So from Deuteronomy 32, we have these words. Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. When Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may commend your children to obey them carefully, all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." These words the Lord gave to Moses are not just idle words for you. They are your life. Being people of the written word, for these words are the words of life. John chapter 6 opens with the feeding of the 5,000, with that five small barley loaves and two small fish, and all were satisfied. The crowd goes looking for Jesus, and when they found Jesus, Jesus was very blunt in that they looked for him, not because of the signs and the wonders, but their tummies were filled from eating. Jesus then speaks about being the true bread from heaven. Bread you must eat, as he is the bread of life. You must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Unless you do this, you have no life in you. Upon hearing this hard teaching, the greater portion of the disciples, the greater portion of the crowd following Jesus, turned their backs and walked away from Jesus. Jesus turns to his disciples and asks if they will also leave. Peter answers, it's written in John chapter 6. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." A little while later in the Gospel of John chapter 20, John writes this. The disciple, the apostle, writes this. "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The written word of God. These are words of life. Our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 26 this morning, about the first fruit and tithes, these are words of life. As this instruction is from the Lord your God. "Gather your first fruits, take them to the place that the Lord will choose as his dwelling." At first it was the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then eventually this will be the temple in Jerusalem that Solomon will build. "You take this basket of your and give your first fruits. And as you do this, you're to personally retell the account of the mighty works of the Lord, from Abraham being called to the captivity in Egypt, to the mighty hand of the Lord delivering with signs and wonders, to bring you to this good, good land flowing with milk and honey that was promised to Abraham all those years before." Verse 10, Deuteronomy 26, verse 10. "Now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me." What a powerful way to remember the Lord gave them this land. I bring to you from the land you gave me the first fruits. This act of worship, of giving, is full of reminding, full of remembering, full of keeping the commands of the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. And they're to build the faith in you and be that constant affirmation, the Lord is God. God alone. The commands which set forth the pattern of worship with first fruits, offerings, tithes, grain offerings, burnt offerings, sin and guilt offerings, set forth the festivals. All of these set forth and written down to build the faith that the Lord is God and God alone. There is no other God. Deuteronomy 26 at verse 11. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things that the Lord your God has given to you and your household. This action makes very visible how good and generous the Lord God truly is. In seeing all these good things being placed before the Lord to provide for the Levites, to provide for the fatherless, provide for widows, provide for those in need. The very action of you doing this in worship, you see how good God is while you give, building the faith and providing for the Levites and the fatherless, the widows and the others. Deuteronomy 26 verse 14 actually calls this giving of the first fruits a sacred portion. It's sacred. The portion you're setting before the Lord is sacred. It's a sacred portion. Giving is a sacred act. For this giving is an act of worship of the Lord your God. And a constant reminder, the Lord is God. There are no other gods. The devil takes Jesus to a high place and offers all the kingdoms of the world, all the authority. I can give it to you. Worship me, and it's yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is written. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The next temptation the devil begins with. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And that's from the highest point of the temple all the way down into the valley below. Adding, it is written. And then the devil quotes Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12. That the angels will guard him, watch over him, keep him safe. Jesus answers, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This answer, Jesus' answer, is also written in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. When you hear Deuteronomy chapter 6, what comes to your mind? The great Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus is answering from that chapter. It is written, worship the Lord your God, serve him only. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. In the same chapter, Deuteronomy 6, where you have that Shema, that foundational worship of the life of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is how Deuteronomy chapter 6 begins. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. With all these good gifts, and it lists it out, all these good gifts, cities, wells, vineyards, olive groves, the people did not have to build, did not have to dig, did not have to plant. All these things are given to them. And so be careful, very careful. Verse 12 and following. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve Him only and take your oaths in His name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. That word fear, it means reverential fear of Him. And reverential because you get the understanding from the words written down. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is compassionate. God is gracious. God is merciful. All of these things. Fear Him. Worship Him with reverence and awe. And as you bring those first fruits and you tell the account of the story, my father was a wandering Aramean, taken down to Egypt as a few, became a mighty nation, then suffered, and the mighty hand of God delivered us. As you bring those first fruits, and the Lord God gave us this land, these first fruits came from, that constant reminder, it is hard to forget that the Lord has done this. But when you stop bringing the first fruits, stop bringing the tithes, stop saying that constant reminder, my father was a wandering Aramean, and you gave us all these things with a mighty deliverance. When you stop remembering those things, it's easy to forget when you stop remembering. Let's bring this together now. Peter said, you have the words of life. Moses, speaking of the words of the Lord, that the words that the Lord gave to Moses to write down, said, these are not just idle words for you. They are your life. Jesus answered the tempter, the devil, man does not live on bread alone, meaning man lives, truly comes alive on the word of God. We come alive on the word of God. Just as those who ate the manna in the wilderness, they died. John chapter 6, beginning of verse 47. Very truly I tell you, that's Jesus preaching and speaking. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We don't need stones to be the bread, for those stones will only satisfy a physical hunger for a fleeting moment. We need the bread of life that truly brings life, which the Word of God shows us the way to find and receive. The Word of God are not idle words for you. They are your life. The life that comes through salvation in Jesus the Christ. The Word of faith that the apostles are proclaiming. We need the work of Christ on the cross. For the work of Christ on the cross fulfills, finishes, brings to completion what was written in the book of Moses, the law, and all the prophets, as Jesus explains to those two on the road to Emmaus. He fulfilled all of that. He had to suffer. He had to die to fulfill all that was written. to bring us the life that truly is life. Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse, the second part of verse 8. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. In the Greek, it's unto righteousness. You believe unto righteousness. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. In the Greek, it's with your mouth you confess unto salvation. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And goes on to say, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. We don't need bread from stones. We need what the word of Lord showed. The Lord shows us how to worship, how to approach him, his character, his nature, and our sinfulness in need of redeeming grace. All of that is written in the word for us so that we come to that point in life to call on the name of the Lord for the life that is in the word of the Lord to be ours, the life of the crucified and risen Christ. To be ours. So we don't need bread from stones. We need what the Word offers. What Jesus offers as the Word of God. Life in His name. Amen. And amen.